We're going to be talking about, so we had a conversation about gifts and what happened to them within the church. It was the supernatural versus the
Superstitious.
superstitious, exactly. So now we're talking about the those who get gifts, so the soup, what we refer to as the supernatural, them showing that they have gifts within the church, and then the people within the church putting them on a pedestal as a result, right? That now you get the sense that they can answer all your life's questions.
Come now.
Because they prayed for someone and they got healed, because they mentioned a prophecy. You know, and I'm actually realizing that there's so many off ramps that could happen. Right? So many off ramps. So just to preface it and create a bit of a foundation. So we all, and I think this is a human thing, we all want that one person who can do it.
Yes.
We're very much wired to just lean towards that one person. And if you get, you see it in sports as well, like in soccer, where everyone is debating between Lionel Messi and Chris,
Ronaldo.
right, and Ronaldo. It's always, human beings are always looking for a person to place on a pedestal. And it is especially dangerous when we do it in spaces that have to do with our well-being. Right? Yeah, it's especially dangerous. And I understand why. I do get why. I understand why. So you get these individuals who then become not just in healing or in prophecy or in whatever the case may be. You might find that a person is very charismatic. And as a result, we all rally around them. I remember someone who does not know me, right? We were sitting having a conversation at a friend's place, and they're like, "You know, I think God has called you to start a church." I'm like,
That's not
nah, fam.
me.
Right? And now it's not that he said that. My concern is why he said that. What was it that led him to believe that this guy is called? He'd never met me before.
This is your
He'd
church.
never, you know what I mean? Like, he just heard me speak and defend certain topics. And in my opinion of evaluating that situation, I think he just found that I'm a charismatic person who
And you're
speaks
gifted at
well
speaking, yeah.
and gifted in speaking. And for him,
That's
like,
my
yeah,
pasta.
you, I'm like,
My
nah,
pasta, my
fam.
pasta.
Right. And it's a very important conversation for us to have, that are the gifted qualified to operate in the office of being a pastor, for example, right? Is not your pastor the one who, let's
Sure,
take
sure.
Paul as an example,
Yes.
who insisted on sitting at the back of the church or and being unnoticed and only coming forward when he's coming to preach, right? He'd literally say he wanted to not create
Hype
that
around himself.
hype around himself, let alone the other scriptures to support what he was doing. Do not, you know, the poor, don't treat them differently when they come into the church,
Sure.
right? Let alone all other scriptures that support that. But can we just talk about how, you know, we've fallen into the culture of having these premium churches,
Ooh.
not churches, premium seats in front of the church,
Yeah.
which by themselves, there's nothing wrong with it,
Yes.
right? By themselves, there's nothing wrong with it. But I want to talk about whether does that not feed into the practice of us taking the gifted amongst us and placing them up on a pedestal. And not only that, but are we not doing it as a substitute for us going before God on our own?
Come now.
Right?
Yes.
The veil that Jesus literally
Imagine.
died to get removed.
And then us here, busy putting curtain rails
Yeah,
to put it
no.
back.
Pastor, you
Do the things.
do the things. Yeah, so what are your experiences with this? Have you seen it?
There are a lot of thoughts that are coming to mind now, which is great because I was definitely nervous about having this conversation. Anyway, I think one of the things that we have a problem with is the line between honor and idolatry. And oftentimes, you know, I think it is, you know, the Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. It is important for us to honor the people who are doing God's ministry, honor each other as well. I say that honor each other as well. Don't treat the man of God well and then treat your brothers and sisters like crap.
Exactly.
Don't do that.
Exactly.
But, you know, I think there is a, like, you honor the gift because you know that they've sacrificed a lot to be a blessing in that department, right?
Yes.
But I think the problem, especially in South Africa, mm-hmm. is we like to idolize the people who are gifted. And that's why we get into trouble. That's why we have people who are taking advantage of us and, you know, who have nefarious agendas, mm-hmm. who have the gifts like we spoken in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
They have the gifts of whatever power gifts that they have that are not submitted and they're not submitted to God. They're not submitted to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
They are using their powers for the kingdom of darkness agenda. And we get into trouble because we idolize him. And I also think we get into trouble,
mm-hmm.
specifically in South Africa, is that I was in a meeting, I think, last week.
Yeah.
And it was this apostle from Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And Nigeria always gets a bad rep.
Yes, yes.
And he was just talking and, you know, like...
It's the Squid Game effect.
It is. You have to watch the previous episode to understand what's happening.
Yes, yes, yes.
But he was talking about this and he was saying, you know, people know that a lot of these fake and false prophets and pastors and what, people know that they're fake, but they have results. So I'm going there.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Because the genuine church of God is not producing miracles, they're not producing healing, they're not, you know, the gifts of the Spirit are not in operation in like as it should be. They're like, you know what, I need a word. So this guy, I know he's kind of crazy. I know he's not really your sound doctrine zero, but he has results.
Yes.
And I have a need. So I'm going to go where I need to go to get what I need to get done. And I think that is why it's so important for us to have these conversations. We need to step up as the people of God and step into our gifts, right? And I think the other thing that I'm just like thinking about, right? I think the reason why we put people on pedestals like that for their gifts... And like pedestals in like idolatry. That's what I'm trying to like get the picture of.
Yes.
We put people in like a space of an idol because we are not operating in our gifts. So you make the gifts like you blow it out of proportion.
Out of proportion. If that makes sense. Exactly.
Like God has given you a gift too. And it's not to say that you shouldn't, again, you shouldn't honor the people that God has placed as, you know, in the fivefold ministry. It's not to say that at all. But it is to say that we should be level-minded.
Yes. Yeah.
Balance in our thinking. Yes, this person can prophesy. But guess what? There are other people who can produce this, who have prophecy
amongst
as a gift.
You.
Amongst you.
Exactly.
Who are not on stage.
You
never know. You might, the answers you might be looking for are coming from a person who's sitting next to you in the congregation. But because you never have the ears to listen and you don't believe that other people can operate in the gifts that Paul says, everyone has been given a measure. Everyone's been given a gift.
Yeah.
By the Holy Spirit, you're missing out on experiencing the blessing of the body of Christ.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. This reminds me of, you know, when we were talking about how the gospel is so good that it becomes very hard to believe. Like when Paul was talking about the church of Corinth, of Corinthians, right? He was saying to them that you, first of all, he rebuked them for having sins that... even people in the world don't have.
Like, y'all are wild.
Let's just let that simmer for a bit.
You guys
are wild. Right?
Connoisseurs of sin.
Right? That very same church is the one that he told that you have gifts operating amongst you like no other church. Like, I know that sounds...
that is so good.
Right? Go read it, please. Don't. I'm begging you not to take my word for it. Like, Paul shouts at them, rebukes them, guys... you guys are doing things that even in the world are unheard of. right?
Yes.
That's like, and then at the same time, he's like, you have gifts operating amongst you that I have not seen in other churches. Like, let alone the fact that he was saying, you guys have some other, the fact that the gifts were operating there, right? And this goes back to the point you were, I'm saying this to get to the point that you're making, that imagine if gifts can operate in an environment like that. What more in your church?
Sure.
The Church of Corinth is the church that Paul was shouting at for having a person's child sleep with, a person sleep with their father's wife. That's what he was rebuking them for. Now, definitely have to make this disclaimer. Neither myself nor Paul was saying that gifts should operate in that environment. If anything, Paul was speaking that you need to change that environment. Exactly. You need to change that environment. What you guys are doing is wrong. He was absolutely rebuking that. But the point I'm making is the fact that you should not take for granted that within your congregation, within your community, there might be people functioning in the gifts, but because you have taken that one and placed them on a pedestal, they have now become the person that we look to for everything.
Yeah.
Right. And here's there's a two-sided danger. It might not even be twofold, actually. It might be more. But the ones that I'm drawn to right now the most is, for one, you place a person on a pedestal and you give them too much power, right? Then the second one is, you place a person on a pedestal, and because they are on the pedestal, because when you need the word, they're there.
Yes.
When you need healing, they're there. Mm. When you need marriage counseling, they're there. And we're not realizing that... I think you've definitely spoken about this, talking about those, I can't remember what term it is. It's a very scriptural term that talks about teachers, the fivefold. Exactly. Talking about the fivefold. The church is supposed to be a unit, right? A unit. It's like sending a bunch of soldiers into war. And then you're only, let's say maybe you send a platoon of 20.
Mm.
And then you're all of them are rallying behind this one sniper.
Millions are coming at you.
You know what I mean?
You have one sniper.
All of us are like, we got given. Given.
Sniper.
Sniper. Yeah. You see, when this one gets out there, which if we're all honest, right, you do get the Messis within a lot of different teams.
Yes.
The Messis and the Ronaldos exist within a lot of teams, right? We're not trying to say that they don't. And those, you'll find that it's either through extremely hard work and staying up longer than everybody else and willing to pray when they're feeling tired. Right?
No.
Right? willing to go those extra miles and pray at times when everyone is sleeping. Or you might find that it's just a gifted inclination.
Sure.
Like, this thing just comes naturally to them. Right? And you find that it's for many different reasons as to why they are so far ahead of everybody else, or they seem to be the Messies of the team.
Sure.
And remember, when speaking, I'm using the fivefold as an example of the church as a whole.
Yes.
That there are among us those who are good at counseling.
Yes.
And we should invest in those.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We should treat them as being extremely important.
They're
within
a
the
part
church.
In the body.
Exactly. They are part of the body. Mm. There are those among us who are literally gifted in terms of giving. Like, they might, and I think this thing, the there are gifts that we hold of high regard than others.
Yes.
Therefore, we study those more and we understand them more and we reverence them a lot. So if someone comes and says, me, I think I have the gift of giving. Ah, what are you going to do for us?
Go away.
Huh? Huh?
Huh?
Huh? What are you going to do? Huh? And that's so sad, right? Because we do need, our churches do need to, I mean, I imagine in my head right now, this is genuinely just what Given is thinking right now. I imagine that if we were to invest in those who give, in those who counsel, in those who have a word of knowledge, if we were to invest time in them, allow them to grow, give them spaces where they can function safely, be wrong, you know, operate wrongly and be corrected. If we were to give them those spaces, imagine if every church would just be, would just have those people functioning, right? Like literally, I'm specifically thinking of the giver, for example. Those are the people who should be placed in positions where they can, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to use the word manage or facilitate or even come up with effective ways that we can all give. You understand what I mean? Too many churches have people coming hungry on a specific day, dressed nice, but they don't have bread at home and no one can spot that. Far
and
too many
what?
Churches.
If you had the person with the word of wisdom,
exactly,
word of knowledge,
exactly,
who was functioning and equipped for that ability to be like, there's a need here.
Exactly.
That's why all of the gifts are needed. And, you know, I think it's one of my favorite analogies. Paul has this brilliant ability to make such brilliant pictures. And I love the analogy of the body of Christ because every part is important, as you said. And, you know, it's like saying, okay, cool, we need as the body to keep drinking water, but we keep telling our kidneys to go away. We keep pulling the kidney out. You're not necessary.
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense. And if we want to work effectively, we need to have all the parts working together. We need to. And I think that's also why it's so important for us not to get so caught up in the man of God is doing it, so I don't have to do it.
Exactly.
The man of God is praying, I don't have to pray.
I don't have to pray. Yeah.
The man of God is teaching us the word, I don't need to. I don't need to read and study for myself. I don't need to go out and evangelize. The evangelists are there for there. There's a reason for us having the gifts. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit would have not given. There would have been no need for us to have the gifts of the Spirit if the fivefold ministry is the only people who are supposed to do it.
Done.
Right?
Yes, yes.
So I actually wanted to read this because I think that this is something that we don't understand as the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. So this is from Ephesians 4, verse 11. Yeah, let's go from 11. It says, and he, speaking about God or Jesus, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. So he gave, those are gifts. I know in other versions it says gifts unto men. Verse 12 says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Like, honestly, Paul really said that.
Right?
But I think that's the problem. You see, we have an inclination to leave everything up to the people who are the evangelists, the prophets, the teachers, the shepherds, and the apostles. But it says their job is to equip us to do the work of the ministry. So that is why God gave us gifts. It's not for funsies. But we are the ones who are supposed to be doing the work of the ministry. Their job is to make sure that we know our doctrine. We have good, sound direction. We know what we're doing in the body of Christ. They're correcting us. They're teaching us. They're loving us. They are counseling us. They are doing all of those things so that we are equipped.
Built up.
We
are
built up.
Exactly.
So that we are, you know, we understand our gifts. And we are, you know, in a place of wholeness where we don't get taken advantage of. And I love that it, even in that verse, it says that we become mature so that we do not
go
with the wind.
To and fro.
Yes. And that's the problem. We need to understand what our function is as the body of Christ.
Yes.
And that is why it is important for us to know what our gifts are.
Yes.
And
yes.
to walk in them, not just to know them. And again, as we said last time, I have the gift of healing. So all I do is pray for myself when I have a headache. But you have that gift for a specific purpose.
Yeah.
And God has called you into the world to exercise that gift and to be a minister in that regard. Just imagine, guys, I feel like we don't realize how much evangelism will be done with us just operating in our gifts.
Yes.
Me just giving a word of wisdom to a random stranger who doesn't believe God. That is miraculous. Do you understand how powerful that is? How powerful of a tool that is to bring people into the kingdom of God. Someone has a need, or someone has a problem, a medical problem, and you pray for them and they get healed. How do you think that person's not going to believe in your
exactly,
God?
Exactly. Exactly.
How do you think?
Exactly.
I know, guys. Even if that person is like the most obscure atheist, there is no way that person will not believe that that your God exists.
Exactly.
And I think that's what we need to do.